Don't you cry no more. All right, we're going to talk today about discovering your destiny. How many want to discover your destiny? How many like to know, what is my destiny? What is my destiny in life? I think this is a good question that we all ask. What is the destiny that God has for our life today? And we're going to be talking about this, and we're going to get into detail, and we're going to look at Joseph's life. Joseph, a young man who had a dream given to him at 17, and at the age of 30, entered into his time of walking into his beginning of his destiny. And so we're going to be looking at Joseph's life over the next several weeks, taking the challenges that he faced, and looking how in our life that God is wanting to use things to get us to our destiny. He wants to take us from our dreams and see our dreams fulfilled and become walking into the destiny that God has for us. So today we're going to talk about discovering your destiny. We're kicking it off, and we're going to be talking about this subject today, about dealing with pride. Dealing with pride. We're going to look in our, let's go right to our text so we can get right into it. In Genesis chapter 37. We're going to be reading several verses right here at the beginning of this story, because it's very important that we lay the foundation for the rest of the series and lay the foundation for the beginning of this message today. So let's look at it together. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. And their dad's name was Pawpaw. We know that. Okay. And the father's wives and Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father. Look at this. So Joseph's hanging out with his half-brothers, okay? He's hanging out with his half-brothers. And it says that he goes to his father and he brings a bad report to his father about the rest of his family. So let's establish thing right here at the very beginning. We see Joseph at the age of 17 was really a big tattletale, okay? He's already managed to become a big tattletale. And now Israel, this is Jacob's name, Israel, his father Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made a tunic, this is a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Any moms and dads can relate to this story already so far, okay? We've got one youngest brother who's a tattletale, and the other siblings are jealous of this younger brother, and they couldn't speak peaceably about their brother. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. And so he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed." This is quite a dream. You're going to love this dream. Can you imagine a 17-year-old youngest brother telling his oldest brothers this dream? "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field." This is the grain, gathering the grain in the field. "And behold, my sheaves rose up and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood up all around and bowed down to my sheaves." Ever been 17? Sound like a 17-year-old, doesn't it? "And his brother said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream. And he had the boldness to tell his brothers again. He told it to his brothers. And he said, 'Look, I've dreamed another dream. Hooray! I've dreamed another dream.'" Oh, to be 17. "And this time, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down before me." So he told this to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and all your brothers indeed come down and to bow down to earth before you?" And his brothers envied him. But his father kept the matter in mind. What a dream. What a dream. Joseph has a dream that his whole family is going to bow down to him. And at 17, he's brave enough to tell his brothers this dream. First of all, let me just start off this lesson today, this message about, first of all, notice the first point is I want you to know this one thing, that when you're walking into your destiny, first thing you got to know is God has a dream for you. First thing first, you got to know God has a dream for you. God's dream for your life is better than your dream for your life. Do you realize that? Anybody here have dreams in your life? Let me tell you this. You know it right up front that God's dream for your life is better than your own dream for your life. God's destiny for your life is better than your own destiny for your life. And God has a dream for every one of us. So how can you know the destiny that God has for you? Isn't that a good question? How can you know the destiny that God has for you? Let's read it real closely here in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And he said, "Listen to my words." This is God speaking. "When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face. Clearly," notice that word clearly, "and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord." Simply put, let me put it this to you the best way I can. If you want to know the destiny for your life, you got to know the one who gives the destiny. If you want to know God's dream, God's destiny for your life, then you got to know God closely. Because he speaks to those, as we just learned in the last series. Matter of fact, last week as we closed out that series, we talked about this very fact that the way that we hear from God the best is that we get close to God. There's no other way around it. The only way I'll ever hear God clearly is when I get to know God better. And the closer I get to the Lord, the closer I get to God, the more clearly I hear him, and the more clearly I see his dream for my life, the more clearly I see my destiny coming into shape. So you want to know this, get close to God. You want it to be blurry, don't get close to God. You want to have no clue, walk away from God. But you want to know your destiny, get close to the Father. Find out his will for your life. Find out what he's speaking to your heart. He will speak to you. He called Moses. He said, "Hey, man, I speak to Moses face to face." He called Abraham friend. Today, he tells us that we are no longer slaves. In the New Testament, Jesus said we are no longer slaves, but he calls us friend, that he's wanting to speak to us and reveal it to it. Get to know God, and he will reveal and fulfill into your life the dream and destiny he has for you. There are some dreams we need to let go of, isn't there? Any guys in here, let me just ask you, any guy in here that over 30 years old, you played football in junior high or high school or even college? Raise your hand if you play football anywhere in your life. Okay. I've got a word from God for me today. The NFL is not going to call you, okay? You need to give that dream up. You've been having that dream since you've been a little boy. But it's time to move beyond that dream. We all have silly dreams, don't we? We all have dreams that maybe they're silly to somebody else, but they really mean something to us. And there comes a time in our life, though, we got to let go of silly dreams and say, "God, what is it, the dream that you really want me to dream for my life? What, in all seriousness, what is the thing that you have for my life?" Yeah, I would love to play in the NFL. Yes, I would love to be a recording artist and be on the top 10. But what is really the dream you have for my life, God? Yes, I would love to be in Forbes' top 100 list next year. But you know what? What is the dream that you really have for my life? Not just what am I dreaming? What is the dream you really have for my life? God has a dream for every one of us. Get close to God and we find out his dream for our life. When you get the dream, what do you do then, though? What happens when God speaks a dream to you? What's the next step? Number two, don't brag about the dream. We saw Joseph bragging about the dream. The dream gets you to your destiny. But if you brag on it, it will keep you from it. Many people want to brag about God's call upon their life. They want to brag about God's call on their life. And God has given them a dream, and they want to brag on their dream. Let me say this to you, that we can learn very much here. I wonder, let me just give you this thought real fast here in Joseph's life. It always intrigued me that as soon as he got the dream from God, what did he do? He went out mouthing and bragging to his brothers. Now look at David's life in the opposite return. David gets called out from taking care of the stinking sheep. He gets pulled in. He's the youngest brother. He gets anointed king, okay? Not just a dream. he gets anointed the next king of Israel in the presence of all his brothers. And what's David's reaction? I mean, you and I, what would we have done? Ha ha! You messed with the wrong brother. I told you someday. We'd have been like, nah, nah, God likes me best. I mean, we'd have done all these things. That's our, but what was David's actual personality? His personality was he went back out and took care of the sheep. We didn't see him gloating over his brothers. We didn't see him bragging to his brothers. And I just wonder in Joseph's life how much he had to go through if he would have, first of all, been able to go through this test of dealing with pride in his life first. If he would have been able to lay down the pride in his life first, how much turmoil would have saved him? How much pain would have saved him? How much quicker maybe he would have attained to his destiny? I don't know this. That's just a good food for thought right there, a little food for thought. Don't brag about the dream. Joseph gets a dream from God, then goes out bragging about it to his brothers, and they all hated him. He fails the pride test. He fails this dealing with pride in his life. And does he really fail? He does, but this is the great thing about God. If you're a Christian today, this is the great thing about our Savior, that we don't really fail. We just keep taking the test over until we pass. This is really what it's about. We'll keep taking the same test over and over and over in our life until we can pass that test. And then we can move on. And God will give us a different test in our life. God will give us something else to deal with. But you wonder why you're dealing with the same thing constantly in your life? Maybe it's because you haven't learned to pass it. Maybe because you haven't learned to deal with it the way God is wanting you to learn to deal with it. And so when we learn to deal with the pride in our life, otherwise we'll continue to fail. We'll continue to have things. I mean, we see this all the time. I mean, we all know of people who have a hard time with pride in their life. Many of us here in this room, if you either had it or do have it presently, have problems with pride in our life. Pastors can be at the worst of this. I just be honest with you. Pastors, some of the most prideful people I know have been pastors. And we're very easy. You can get in a room of pastors and very easily you can find out real soon, you know, real quickly, the pastors have a lot of pride. You know, you walk in the room and all of a sudden we're comparing numbers. And no, this Sunday I had this. Well, this Sunday I had this. Well, this Sunday I had this. It's like a competition every week to see on Facebook who can have the most people on their numbers. You know, just, there's nothing wrong with bragging what God's doing. Believe me, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we can see a competition spirit rise up. And so I really have tried. I'm not always perfect at it, but even though God has done a lot of good things here at our church and has quickly grown Destiny Church, I really try to stay away from things. And if someone asks me, I'll honestly give them an honest answer. But I just want to brag on God. I don't brag on Destiny Church. I don't brag on myself or any of our leaders. I brag on God, what God's doing, because I want God to get all the glory. It's not. I want to make sure my pride is not evident to anyone. I don't want anything I say to be misquoted or taken the wrong way, because I know that pride will stop God's destiny in my life. Why do we brag? Because we have pride in our heart, simply put. Why do we brag? Because we have pride built in our heart. How do we know this? Because Matthew 12:34 says it very clearly. Brood of vipers, how can you being of evil, speak good things? Look what it says, for out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do I know that there's pride in your heart if you're bragging? Well, you don't know my heart, Pastor. You're misjudging me. You don't know my heart. Well, I've got a pretty good idea by listening to you talk. It's very evident when I constantly have to have my opinion, when I constantly have to be right, I have pride issues in my life. Pride always has to have a voice to be heard. Pride always has to give its opinion. Pride always has to interrupt people. We deal with pride in our life, and it's one of the first things that Joseph had to deal with in getting from his dream to his destiny. Notice he had a dream about his destiny. This is very, very good. I want you to hear this. Joseph had a dream about his destiny. But God's destiny was not Joseph's original dream. That was not his destiny. You notice that he got up and shared that your sheaves are going to bow down. You guys are going to bow down to me. Listen, it was never Joseph's destiny for his family to bow down to him. It was always Joseph's destiny to help save a nation through a famine time. And that's what God wanted for his life. He wanted Joseph to grow up in the kingdom, and he wanted him to be a good steward, be a person who would collect, hear God's voice, and collect during the famine time so that when the famine came, he would have the resources to help save a nation. That was his destiny, to save people. Let me tell you what your destiny is. Your destiny is to save people. Your destiny is to save people. My destiny is not different than your destiny at this point, that we have a destiny to save people. Our dreams are different, and God uses our dreams to get us to our destiny. Is it possible that God uses the dreams in our heart to bring out the things that need to be dealt with so that we can walk in our destiny? Is it true? I mean, think about this. Does God use the dreams in our heart to get us to the place of seeing our destiny fulfilled in our life? Hillary, you had a dream to be a social worker. Coming out of high school, well, I want to do some good things for people, and I want to be a social worker. And she went to some of the top colleges, but that was just the path that God used to get you in contact with people who were going to Brazil, that when you got to Brazil, you would fall in love with this great hunk of man back there. The Brazilian Amazon. Every woman's dream, every man's nightmare. His destiny for her life was to be a missionary to save people. But he used her dream to get her to her destiny. Aldaí, you had a dream to be the best cover band in Brazil, to play in the best American cover band, man. He had this long beard here thing going on before he was saved. He played in a great cover band, played American tunes there in Brazil. It was great. And he learned he's a very skillful musician. He had a dream to have a great band in Brazil. But his dream, his destiny was not to play in a cover band. His destiny was to lead a generation into worship. His destiny was to lead a people and a nation into a revolution and a revival of what God's wanting to do. But he used his dream to help prepare him for his destiny. Do we see? He had a dream to be an architect, but God never wanted you to draw plans for secular building. He has a dream for you to draw plans for the kingdom of God. See, God uses our dream to fulfill our destiny in our life. He gets us this dream, and oftentimes our dream really reveals who we are. Well, I've got a dream, man. I've got a dream that God's going to use me to speak to thousands of people. You may use that dream to get you to Bible college. He may use that dream to get you to study more and develop it. But you know what? He could care less about you speaking to 1,000 people than anybody would ever give you applause. Oh, what a great teacher. Oh, he is such an awesome preacher. God could care less than anybody would ever say that to you. He really doesn't. His destiny is that you would use what he gives you to reach people. I have a dream, man, that I can make a lot of money someday. Man, I can get... God does not care if you make a lot of money. He is glad that you make a lot of money. But his dream is for you not to sit there and be rich. His dream is for you to be there and be a testimony and fund the kingdom of God. He uses things in our life to fund the kingdom of God, to see people saved, to resource the kingdom of God. He's wanting to do things in our life, and we have dreams to help us walk into our destiny. And many times our dreams really reveal who we are. I mean, I can tell you, man, I can just by example. When I went to Bible college, man, you're there with all these preachers who think, man, they've been called to God and they're just going to be the next great evangelist or pastor. And that what happens is that when you're in Bible college, that many times they let the students speak in the chapel. That's how they get their practice and how they get to know. They speak in class, they speak in chapel. And I've seen it time and time again where some student gets up and he was speaking chapel. And, man, and everybody's like, wow, man, that guy's awesome. And they're like, oh, yeah, I can't believe he's in college. And he's always speaking this good as someone who's been 20 years in the ministry. And everybody's like, oh. And all the girls are like, I'm going to marry that man. God's called me to be that pastor's wife. I feel it right now. I mean, everybody's just like, and before the week's over with, he's already got a whole staff lined up, people following him, you know. Well, when I become the next big crusade, you're going to be my chief organizer, and you're going to be my youth pastor, and you're going to be this and that. And, you know, I remember sitting with a guy who, he was one of these guys, and he was very, very much talented, charisma guy, and he could speak very elegantly, and he was just an awesome speaker. And you know what he told me one night? And I'm here. I haven't even preached yet in my life. I'm still nervous. I don't want to preach. I'm still thinking, that's crazy. I don't really know about this thing yet. I'm just checking this thing out. And this guy tells me, you know why I love to preach so much? Because it's the most rush I ever get since I quit playing football. And me, in my new infant state of just accepting the call of God in my life and really had just rededicated my life shortly before then, I'm thinking, I know this is wrong. I'm like, dude, you're going to fail. I just one-handed stamped fail right across his forehead because I knew this guy was going to fall. Because the Bible's very clear. It says, pride cometh before the fall. Oh, he had a talent. But the dream he had really revealed his real colors. And instead of letting God take that true colors and work in him, the person today has nothing to do with ministry. He's not doing anything at all. Not doing anything at all. As far as I know, last I heard, he was doing nothing in ministry at all. And his life fell apart because he had so much pride in his life. And never learned to deal with the pride. Listen, we've got to learn to deal with the pride in our life. When God gives us dreams, it's okay to be excited. It's okay to cherish those things. But we don't go out bragging about it. Well, God gave me a dream that this is going to happen. No, you better know who you're confiding in. You better know that, yeah, it's all right to confide in a spouse. It's all right to confide in somebody close to you who knows is going to help protect and pray with you. But I don't go out just sharing everybody my dream. They can't handle your dream. They can't handle the truth. Thank you very much. All right. He uses the dream to help us purify ourselves so he can shape us for our destiny. God has a dream for me. Don't brag about the dream. And the third point, last point, deal with the root of pride. When you're learning to deal with pride, we got to deal with the root of pride in our life. How many has ever had pride in your life? Just raise your hand if you ever had pride in your life. Okay. And the rest of you, you got pride right now. You're too proud to raise your hand. So we know this deals with every one of us. How many of us here can say that I've had to deal with pride more than once in my life? I've had to deal with it multiple times in my life. Yeah. Why is that? Because we know the pride, that many times when we see it, we deal with the fruit and not with the root. Let me say again. With pride in our life, many times we deal with the fruit of pride versus dealing with the root of pride. And what I mean by fruit is this. We'll see, sense ourselves, I'm just talking way too much. I've got too much pride coming out, and so I'll do this. I'm just going to quit talking. Instead of dealing with the root of the issue of pride, which is my heart, I deal with my mouth. I just won't say anything because I know that when I speak, I'm speaking too much pride. And therefore, that thing continues to come back and back and back in our life because we deal with the fruit of it and never take time to deal with the root of pride in our life. What is the root of pride? Let me give this to you right now. The root of pride is this. Insecurity is the root of all pride. Insecurity is the root of all pride. If pride is in your heart, then insecurity is in your soul. Someone needs to tweet that today. If pride is in your heart, insecurity is in your soul. Notice that when Satan went to Jesus and tried to tempt him in the garden, remember this? After he just came out of the fast, and Satan tries to tempt him, what's he say? He says, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, did Jesus ever say, Satan, I am the Son of God? R not, R2, R not, R2. Do we see this happening in their life? No. Jesus never once has to say, oh yeah. He never once defends. Why? Because he was secure in his soul. He was secure and knew he was the Son of God. He didn't have to go around defending this to Satan. He didn't have to go around defending this to any of the Pharisees. Anyone who doubted, we never see him defending himself, saying, oh yeah, I'll show you. He didn't have pride in his life. Jesus never says, I am the Son of God. He already knew in his heart who he was. There's a story of a prince who was in the kingdom, and he was getting of age when it was time. His mom and dad said, "Son, it's time for you to choose your wife. And we've been taking all these girls to school. They've been going to charm school, and they've been going to queen school. For many years, these women have been raised up to be the next queen of this great land. And you can choose from any of these women." And the prince says, "You know what? I really thanks mom and dad, but I'm just not feeling it yet." And he went to his room, and as he's there thinking and contemplating about the decision he has to make, he looks out from his tower, and he sees a commoner woman out there working in her garden, a single woman just about his age. And so he was intrigued by her. He was attracted by her. And so he went down, disguised himself, and began to work out there with her. And he took a job as a commoner, and nobody knew except for his mom and dad what he was doing. And the prince went out, and he slept on the dirt. He camped out and left this kingdom privileges behind and went out and pursued this common girl to be his wife. And as they fell in love, and then right before they were married, he revealed to her that really, I'm the prince, and I'm next in line to be king of this great nation. And she was like, "Oh, I knew it was you. I thought you looked familiar." You know, all this stuff happened, and he took off his disguise. They'd already fallen in love, and she couldn't believe that the prince had taken her to be the next queen, a common girl. And they were married in a great celebration, and the land rejoiced because he found somebody that he truly loved. Let me ask you this question then. So how does this next queen, how does she deal with her insecurity? How does she deal with her insecurity? She deals with her insecurity, first of all, because she knows how much her husband paid the price to love her. She knew how much that he loved and sacrificed to be with her. So she was secure in her position as the queen. She knew that she wasn't picked for him, that he picked her. And she was secure in her position. So her insecurity about thinking, "Am I good enough? Well, he's really loved me," it was all gone because he handpicked her when he didn't have to. How does she deal with pride in her life? She never forgets where she came from. She remembers that even though I'm living in the palace right now, there's a time in my life when I lived in the dirt. It's a time in my life when I worked and sweat like a dog out there every day, sun up to sundown. And I never forget where I come from. And it keeps me to be humble. And it keeps pride from coming in my life. So how do you and I deal with insecurity and pride in our life? First of all, I'm secure in knowing who my Father is. That I'm a child of the King. That I'm sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We are sons and daughters of our King. And so I'm secure because he was secure. I'm secure. I'm secure in my position. And because I'm secure in who my Father is, I can let go of the pride in my life and say, "You know what? I remember where I came from. I remember a time in my life when I was lost and I was in sin. I remember a time in my life when people had given up on me. I remember a time in my life when people talked about me and didn't realize anything about my life." So I can stay pretty humble, realizing, you know what? My God's grace is so big in my life. My God's grace is so big in my life. It keeps me humble. It keeps pride from coming to my life. We must deal with pride in our life if we're ever going to walk in the destiny that God has for our life. In closing today, let me say this to you. God has a destiny for you. God has a destiny for you. But you'll never fulfill your destiny until you deal with pride in your life. Today, we know that in our own heart that we can see pride come up all the time. And let's just be honest. Many people in this room, you've either have dealt with it a lot or you still deal with it today. And pride rises itself up in many, many ways in our life. Pride says, "I can do it on my own." Pride says, "I don't need to be accountable to God. I don't need to be accountable to nobody else. I can do this thing. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I can work out my own salvation. Just leave me alone. I'll just come here." No, We lay down our pride and say, God, I am nothing without you. God, my dreams are empty without you. God, my marriage is empty without you. God, my home is empty without you. God, my life is empty without you. If you don't give me a dream, my dreams are empty. But God, I know today that you want to give me a God-given dream that'll take me to my destiny. And before I get there, I got to learn right now that I've got to deal with pride in my life. I've got to lay down pride in my life. It doesn't make a difference who we are. We have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. We all have to deal with laying down our pride and saying, God, I surrender to security of who you are in me. When you lay down pride in your life, you may not get words of affirmation that you're used to getting. People may not brag on you the way that you wanted them to brag on you. Things may not happen all the time the way you think they would happen because you're not bragging on yourself. You're not bragging on your call. You're not bragging on your dream. But you're saying, God, it's your dream. It's your destiny. I lay it down at your feet. God, I'm humbled by your dream. God, I'm humbled by the destiny you have for my life. God, I can't do this without you. God, I can't achieve this without you. And the fact that you would choose to use me in this way, if it's what you want me to do, then God, I'm humbled, God. I don't see how it's even possible. But I'm secure enough in my own soul to know this, that God, if you're asking me to do this, then God, you're going to lead me through. You're going to walk me along this path that's going to lead to my destiny. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. The first thing I want to ask you, if you're here today, we want to make sure that you hear about pride, Pastor. You were talking about pride today and people talking about dealing with pride in their life. Maybe you hear, say, Pastor, that's me. I've had pride in my life. But first and foremost, I want to ask this question. If you're here right now, today's your day. You say, Pastor, I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready for him to forgive me my sins, and I want to make sure heaven's my home. I want to become a child of God today. I want to lay down my life today to him so I can walk in this new dream that he has for me, walk in this new destiny. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you have a long time ago and you say, you know what, I've been so far away from him and today I want to come back and I want to renew my commitment to him. I bet you're here today. Nobody's looking around at all and I will not embarrass you one bit. But I want you just to raise your hands. That's me, Pastor. Today I'm ready to commit my life to Christ. I want to make sure. Raise your hand if that's you today. So that's me, Pastor. I'm ready today to make a decision. Raise it high. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, I want to be honest today. I'm ready today to make a decision to follow after Jesus Christ. I'm ready to accept him as my Lord and Savior. I'm tired of walking this thing alone today. Anybody else want to join this person today? Raise your hand one more time if you haven't raised it yet. We're going to say this prayer together, and especially those who raise your hands. Please repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. It all belongs to you. All of my heart, all of my sin, all of my dreams, they all belong to you. From this day forward, I will serve you. From this day forward, I will live for you. I believe you are the Messiah. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, we say, welcome to the family, God. Let's give him a hand clap, yeah. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, make sure before you leave today, stop by our information booth back there. We got a free Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. We'd love to get with you and just surround you with people who will love you, support you. You need that. Today's just the beginning of a new journey. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. Everybody looking around, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to lay down my pride? Today, as I prepare this message, God shows me places in my life I still have prideful issues. I'm raising my hand with you. There's still areas in my life I'm working with laying down my pride. Anybody else here today say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to lay down my pride. If you're ready to lay down your pride, why don't you just lift your hands where you're at. Lift your hands where you're at. I'm going to pray for you right now. With your hands lifted up, Father, right now I pray that, Father, as we begin to lay down our pride, Lord, as we begin to say, Father, we want to follow after your dream. We want to follow after your destiny for our life. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that, Father, we would lay down the pride in our life. Lord, we would lay down issues we try to carry alone. to lay down things we try to do on our own. And God, I pray right now that God, we would admit that God, we don't have it figured out and we can't do it without you. No matter how much talent we have, no matter how much money we have, no matter how much skill we have, God, we are nothing without you. If you do not breathe on us, God, if you do not bless us, God, we are going nowhere. So today, Father, we lay down our pride. And Lord, we say, strip us of our pride today. Strip us of our arrogance, God. Strip us, God, of our hard heart. And God, help us today to soften our heart. Help us today say, Father, we need you every day of our life. We need you. Dreams. We need your dreams. We need your destiny in our life. God, we need you teaching us, God. We need you revealing to us. We need you speaking to us. We need you guiding us. And Father, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that pride begin to fall off of lives right now. Out of their heart, pride would fall. Out of their mind, pride would fall. In the name of Jesus, I speak that pride begin to leave our life, God. May it come under subjection to the power of the Holy Spirit's reign in our life. And Father, from this day forward, Lord, we pray that God, we're taking steps, Lord, into discovering our destiny in you. And God, we want to say yes to our destiny. Lord, yes to your dream for our life. Even though we have a dream, God, how does our dream line up with the dream that you have for our life, God? May our dream always submit to your dream. May our destiny always submit to your destiny. And Father, I speak right now, we are people who are moving forward. We're moving forward in you, and we say yes. Yes, we are moving forward. We're going to sing this song together in closing. I want you to raise your hands. I want you to sing it. I want you to declare that we are not going back, but we're moving ahead. And we are what? Going forward. Come on.
Not going back, I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. What a moment. Brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not going back, I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over in you. Things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, not going back. I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. With all power in your hands, you have given me the second chance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah, 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 yeah. Not going back, I'm moving ahead, here to declare to you. Past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, not going back. I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward.
forward today. Are you ready to go forward? I mean, ready to discover your destiny that God has for your life. Justin's going to come this morning. He's going to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. God bless you. He's going to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Come, Justin, dismiss us this morning.
God, indeed, you make all things new this morning, God. Oh, we're so excited, God, over these next weeks, God, to discover our destinies, God. We're so excited, God, about what you're going to speak to our hearts, God. How we can follow you, God, the dreams that you've given us, God, to accomplish your destiny in the earth, God. Lord, we love you, God. Lord, we pray that you would seal this word in our hearts, God. Lord, keep us meditating on it, God, day and night, God. Lord, help us to become more sensitive to your voice, God, so that we can hear you when you speak, God. We thank you, God. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen.